Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
And welcome in to the Tuesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you. Hope everybody's off to a wonderful start to their day today. Joe Rex Road, how we doing? What's going on?
Doing all right. Just ready for Snowmageddon. Going to go to the grocery store after this, get about $1,200 worth of supplies. About 8 gallons of milk, 10 blows of bread. What else do we need?
I guarantee you, if you walk into any grocery store today, the bread and milk will be on a limited display, which is always hilarious to me. It's like, guys, you'd be snowed in for maybe a day, maybe two.
Yeah.
And we got to just load up on bread and milk.
How many sandwiches? Like, I mean, if you get that much, you better make a lot of French toast, right? Dip the milk in the egg and the – or the dick the – dip the bread in the egg and the milk.
French toast,
you know what I'm saying,
is underrated anyway. It probably needs to be more French toast just in life.
I would agree.
Yeah. Like, I don't know why it's like, well, we must get bread and milk. Let's go get it.
Right.
And it's all gone.
Yeah. Why are those the things that you have to have? I'm having a flashback now to COVID and no toilet paper anywhere. Oh,
yeah.
Here's some coarse brown paper towels that you used to get in school. Guess we'll use that, eh?
Just go find a leaf outside off a tree. You'll be fine.
Just kind of shower it out there.
Geezer, how we doing? What's going on?
What's up, brother?
Are you taking up all the bread and milk today? Are you going grocery
shopping? No, I used to work at a grocery store, and I can understand where the demand comes from and having to constantly go stock it up.
You used to do what at a grocery store?
I used to stock shelves.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Okay. Yeah.
My first job was bagging. At a commissary, so same thing. Grocery
very
store.
Nice. Yeah.
All tips. Yeah.
My first job was making pizza, so that's
okay.
What I did.
Wow.
A lot of pizza.
That's a good one.
Making that dough.
Making that dough, yeah. Very nicely done. Very nicely done. We got a lot to get into on the program today. Gentry Estes from the Tennessean will be with us at 7:30. There is a smorgasbord of options and things that we will get into with Gentry Estes, so looking forward to that coming up later in the program. We'll discuss another Stanley potentially coming to Nashville later this hour as well. So we'll get into that. The more Stanleys we can have around here, I think the better off we'll all be.
Yeah, and it's Stanley. It kind of sounds like you even more than just
kinda,
the last name.
Kind of does.
Yeah.
Kind of does. In the 7 o'clock hour, we'll get into a little Vanderbilt talk. I don't know if you noticed, pretty good run of success for Vanderbilt Athletics so far in the last calendar year. How has it happened? Is it sustainable? We'll get into that a little bit later in the program as well. Taking your thoughts in the meantime, 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So, John, I got to thinking about it yesterday. You know, we talked about the U.S.-Canada Saturday night matinee or Saturday night rumble that they had that USA won, and now we're going to get the rematch on Thursday, U.S. and Canada in the final of the Four Nations, which I'm very much looking forward to. So, I guess we'll see how healthy everybody is at that point. You've got Charlie McAvoy from USA apparently in the hospital right now, which we'll see what happens on that. Matthew Tkachuk was hurt last night. Brady Tkachuk got hurt last night. So the bodies are starting to drop a little bit for Team USA. We'll see what that looks like on Thursday. But
good thing nobody went to the Olympics.
Yeah, absolutely. Bottom line is it was a great game Saturday night, one of the better hockey games that I've ever seen played. And it got me thinking, like, what is the best game that you've ever seen played? Could be on TV, could be in person, not necessarily something that you've had to be there and experience live and in person, but the best game that you can remember watching. Is there anything in particular, Joe, that stands out to you in that area?
I mean, I saw this on the grid. I'm like, that's a great idea, but, like, I'm old and I've been doing this a long time. Like, I mean, one of the things – obviously, I think about things I've seen in person. I've talked about this before, but the women's hockey gold medal game in Korea between U.S. and Canada was one of the great experiences of my life. And, you know, the shootout and the – what the heck did she call that shot? Oops, I did it again.
Yeah.
I mean, but like the arena, you know, some of that is like, to me, it's enhanced when you're there, like the arena. That was an incredible, you know, I mean, it's just like absolute. It's like, it's got to be desperation. So that's for a gold medal, which is, I think that the, yeah, just or for a championship.
The stakes matter, I think.
Yeah, I think the stakes matter, you know. But, man, I mean, I mean, there's some Preds games that, like, I think of game three against Chicago.
Yeah.
In 17.
Uh-huh.
Which I believe was the game. Well, that was a game, I think, Forsberg title. That was an insane game. Yeah, that was like Chicago last stand, and they put everything into it. I mean, that game stands out.
It's Fiala game winner at overtime.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Shoot. I mean, the year before, those ridiculous multiple overtime games. So I can get into like each thing and go through it. I've done a poor job here. My brain has a lot of stuff in it. Seen some incredible college basketball games. Yep. I mean, I got to see the Villanova-UNC championship game, which, again, Charles Robinson had video of me when UNC tied it on the ridiculous shit. If you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
They tied it some stupid shot, and Charles was right behind me on press row, and I was like, this. And he went around Twitter, and people were like, no cheering in the press. I'm like, I wasn't cheering. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think you and Charles Barkley had a similar reaction when that was all going down.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So, man,
two known legends, Charles Barkley and Joe Rexroth.
Similar body types. But, so, I mean, those come to mind, but like some, I'm thinking about some of the college football games I've seen. Like, you know, it's, I'm old and I wish I had, the first thing that came to mind was the gold medal game.
Yeah.
I mean, and again, part of it is like, it's like the arena, and it's half Canadians and half Americans, and everybody got along. Didn't boo their anthems, by the way.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah, it was crazy, and it was cool. That one comes to mind.
Yeah, I mean, there's a few to me. Like in hockey, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. The 2010 gold medal game between U.S. and Canada was unbelievable.
Yeah,
that's right up there. I would say the Rose Bowl between USC and Texas with Vince Young is right up near the top of best games
that's a great
I've ever
call.
Watched. I would say, I mean, you're probably not going to like this one, but Game 7 of the Cavs and the Warriors in 2016, right up there with one of the great games I've watched. Like, it was awesome. Like, there's, I think, a ton that you can choose from there. Like, for selfish reasons, as a Miami Heat fan, like the 2013 Ray Allen shot where they went back and tied it in Game 6, and then ultimately won Game 7. But the Game 6 part of that was awesome. Like, there's a few I could choose from. I think if I had to nail down one, I do think it's USC and Texas in the national title game. It's hard to top that one.
That's a great call, man. That was an unbelievable game. Yeah. Yeah, you know, the 2016 thing. So, quick story on that. We were at visiting my mom in Virginia, but we went out to watch Game 7, and Brennan was, let's see, how old would he have been? Almost 9, and yep. He was the most diehard Warriors fan. And Brennan almost got into a bar fight with some, like, grown men Cavs fans. And then LeBron got hurt, and Brennan's like, yes! And I'm like, you can't cheer for someone getting hurt.
Yeah.
You can't do that. Yeah. But, yeah, that was – oh, what a heartbreaker.
I'll throw another one your way, and this, again, is totally personal. Although the game itself, you can make an argument for it being up there. I mean, 2022, Tennessee-Alabama is pretty darn good. It is pretty good. You were in there for that one.
Oh, incredible. No. And this is the problem, is like, yes. That. But I think, like, and that one, high stakes for sure. So, but I think the USC-Texas is such a great call because, you know, obviously.
It's championship.
Yeah, and it's just, like, if you remember those USC teams, you didn't feel like anyone could ever stop them.
Right.
And Texas stopped them a couple times by the skin of their teeth, you know. But obviously Vince Young, that's one of the great performances too. You know, talk about it. And of course,
yeah. People
here, that's the type of performance that convinces someone that they should invest a lot in you know.
And it looked like it was going to work out really well for about 2 years, and then that was about it.
Yeah, man, I was sure that one was, and you know the Titans would have been on an off taking this off topic on a side note. Titans would have been like such a, I think, like popular team in the NFL if he would have, You know
I agree.
What I mean?
Yeah.
Like the attention on the Titans during the early Vince Young era, I think was as high as at any time in the franchise history. It would just, and that's for me in Michigan at the time.
I
like
agree.
Every week it was like, okay, what's this guy going to do?
Right.
You know?
Especially with the way like he won some of those games early in his career. Like just, I mean, the overtime touchdown run against the Texans or like the drive against Arizona or the drive against the Giants. Like he had some pretty, for a guy that wasn't around that long, he had some pretty big moments. Like it was pretty fun to watch.
He's an all-time what if, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if he again from everything I've heard, if he put everything into it and was totally locked in to be great, I think he would have been.
I mean, I was thinking about this exercise. You know, I've listed some college games, an NBA game, hockey game, like the NFL. Like, what's the best NFL game of all time? Because I could make the argument, like, the best NFL game that I've watched was probably Buffalo and Kansas City in the playoffs a couple of years ago and when it was the divisional round. So it's not like there was a, you know, a Super Bowl on the line or anything. I mean, look, Titans-Rams are pretty good, too, in the Super Bowl.
Titans-Rams, but, yes, that one I think would have to be on the list. I mean, I think the Patriots-Eagles Super Bowl – even though it wasn't like – I don't remember exactly the end. I don't think it came down to like some incredible drama at the end. But the game itself was just thrilling. It was just – you know, it was nonstop offense on both sides. And I'm like, Nick Foles just can't be stopped.
Yeah.
Okay. Doug Peterson going on all the fourth down. I mean, that one comes to mind. You know, the – well, there's a few Super Bowls that – I think a championship game qualifies as high enough stakes, though.
Yeah, I agree.
It was insane the way that game ended. Chiefs, Bills, the Tyreek Hill long TD. I mean, that one's up there.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the best game you've ever seen, plus some NFL headlines to get to coming up next. Could we see some wide receiver movement this offseason in the National Football League? And what does it mean for the Titans? We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. We're all over the place on our best games we've ever seen on the text line.
Yeah, a lot of good submissions, a lot of good ones. You know, you mentioned the Oshie game yesterday.
Yep.
Great one. The drive, Elway against the Browns. Man, I was a huge Elway fan, and that was amazing. And I know that Mike Vrabel cried that day. So, not saying I enjoy that. You know, Vrabel claims he might come on the show soon. I mean, I'm just saying.
Hey.
He's not saying no.
He's always
probably
welcome.
Not.
He's always welcome on the program.
The Iron. That's a good one. Drew with the Iron Bowl. I had 24-0 Bama. And Cam brings him back. That was an insane game. There's so many.
Kick six. Now, that's the ending of a game. Like, the entire game wasn't, like, great.
Yeah.
See, great ending.
You do have to distinguish that. It's, like, constant great. Like again, that you know, like, Stanley Cup playoffs hard to top, you know, when you got two desperate teams. And like I think I like that Preds game against Chicago when it was 2-0 Preds, and you're like, you know, the Blackhawks is basically their dynasty is on the line tonight, you know. But yes, then you have the incredible endings, which sometimes can be capping a whatever game.
Yeah, I mean, the bottom line is the more I got to thinking about this, I've seen a lot of great games. Hopefully see a lot more in the future. A lot of great games that have been seen out there.
A lot of great games. But, I mean, I'm more interested in watching people stretch here coming up pretty soon and talk. Pretty awesome.
Well, good for you. We're only a few weeks away from that opportunity for you. And it's right up the road in Indianapolis.
I think it's like a week.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I think.
Weekish, yeah.
Like next, I think a week from now, I know that they will be there. And then maybe the interviews players probably started like a week from tomorrow or something like that. Yeah. So get ready, everybody. Then they start running and stretching.
With the shorts
and
you're going to bench press. It's going to be awesome.
I mean, why watch, you know, actual sports games? Get into that stuff.
So speaking of the NFL, It's going to be, I think, interesting to monitor what the wide receiver market looks like this offseason. And we've talked about the T. Higgins part of this. He's a straight-up free agent at the moment. What's Cincinnati going to decide to do? You know, could they tag him again? Does he get the free agency? Do they come to a long-term deal?
There is a report, Cincinnati? Right, on him being tagged.
I have not seen that.
I thought I could be wrong. I'll make sure.
Okay.
I thought somebody reported that.
Well, that could be. In the meantime, Bill Barnwell came out with a piece yesterday at ESPN.com, and it was kind of going through some of the trade candidates and cut candidates this offseason around the league. A lot of wide receivers on the list, starting with Tyreek Hill down in Miami. Now, if you remember the way the season ended for Tyreek Hill, they played, I think it was week 18 against the Jets. He refused to go in the game in the fourth quarter. And then after the game was over, he was interviewed and was like, yeah, I'm out of here. Now, he has since, you know, he was part of like the Super Bowl media tour. And I think he went on Kay Adams' show and was basically like crying on Kay Adams' show, like begging for forgiveness from his teammates and apologizing and all that. So apparently he has rescinded his trade request. He wants to still be there. We'll see what Miami decides to do at that point. But he had 81 catches, 959 yards, 6 touchdowns last year. Decent, but not Tyreek Hill numbers, and we know Tua missed a significant portion of the year. You know, you had Snoop Huntley throwing in the ball at times. So, interested to see how Tyreek Hill is viewed by the Dolphins, and if they do decide to move on from him, what does that look like for a 31-year-old wide receiver in the market heading into next year? Then you've got Deebo Samuel, who has requested to be traded from the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco makes the decision to pay Brandon Ayuk last year. Ayuk gets hurt, suffers the ACL injury. Deebo has already been paid by San Francisco. He's not been very good. No. And his stats last year, not great at all. 51 catches, 670 yards, 3 touchdowns. Kind of feels like he's fallen off the cliff a little bit. So there's two trade candidates that Barnwell has thrown out there in Tyreek Hill and Deebo Samuel. Your thoughts on those two and potential movement we could see this offseason in the NFL?
Yeah, so to quote my nephew at Thanksgiving, Tyreek Hill this year from a fantasy perspective was buns.
Yeah,
still, there's a huge difference between those two players to me. I'm buyer beware on Deebo Samuel. I think he's seen his best days, and I think he's gotten banged up a lot. And you know, if you're him, you could say, "Hey, I wish Kyle Shanahan didn't use me as a running back and receiver for a couple years," but I'd be worried. I think Tyreek Hill has plenty left. I think Tyreek Hill, again, it's a lot of it is health, and so once you get older, you have some injuries. How much harder is it to avoid those injuries? That's obviously a concern, but if he's on the field, Tyreek Hill's still running by everybody in his way. So, you know, that's a really interesting situation because they might be headed for a huge reset there. I mean, if you know what I mean,
like, yeah.
I mean, I would try to keep things together and you know and try to save my job if I'm McDaniel. Now Fowler here, and yeah, I think the Bengals are, if they don't get it done, they're going to tag him, which makes sense.
Yeah,
I guess it was SI reported at first that they're going to use the non-exclusive tag. That'd give the team till July 15th to negotiate a long-term deal, and then if not, he'll play at $26 million, which I'm sure he would be furious about, at $26 million in 2025. Although that's the thing, like,
where I think he should come in.
I think so too, but yeah, but
he doesn't.
Yeah, but also the 1 year crap, right, got to be old for him, right?
For sure. Yeah.
I mean, you want to get that deal and get your 70 guarantee or whatever, right, it is, and then okay, now you've gotten yourself paid. But look, I think it makes sense for the Bengals. I mean, Joe Burrow's out there. We talked about this last week, but like Joe Burrow's out there basically calling out ownership, like,
yeah,
you know, and good for him. I mean, the guy hasn't been in the playoffs the last 2 years. He's playing his butt off, and they are a notoriously cheap organization. So I mean, I'm impressed that they're planning to try to chase Higgins and Hendrickson and keep them all.
Here's an interesting one that I don't think it's going to necessarily affect the Titans, you know, unless they get a certain quarterback, then maybe it would. But Davante Adams with the Jets, like, he's owed a lot of money next year. Rodgers is gone, so we know that at this point. And I believe he's due, what was it, $35.6 million next year. And you're talking about a guy that's 32 years old. He has 85 catches, over 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns last year. Those are good numbers. But it's not, you know, the Davante Adams that we've gotten used to seeing. Now, how much of that was, you know, he played for the Raiders to start the year and they didn't have a quarterback, and then he played for the Jets who were terrible. I don't know. You know, can he still be, you know, one of the elite wide receivers in the league? We'll see. But Adams, a potential cut candidate for the Jets as they get their offseason rolling. You know, Barnwell has put Christian Kirk from Jacksonville on this list as well. And then we know Cooper Kupp, you know, the Rams are going to try to move him. And if not, probably going to end up cutting him at that point. So bottom line is, I think there could be a pretty significant amount of pretty well-known wide receivers that could be available this offseason.
Yeah. It seems like these guys we're talking about, it seems like from the Titans' perspective, might be a little rich for their blood and just a little bit not the right timing given where they are. But
I would agree.
They badly need receivers. So, I mean, look, if you were able to make it work and get someone to where you now feel like you have two big-time playmakers, you're paying both. You know, paying two receivers, that seems like it's something that a team that's like a contender or at least a playoff team does. Although I guess the Bengals are about to pay two receivers and they didn't make the playoffs last year.
It's true.
But, you know, like, again, you'd prefer the when are you going to get the next young receiver. But if you have an opportunity to get a big-time playmaker there, then now you can check that off the list and focus on other stuff while you draft.
Well, and then, you know, also – you would have to make some of these decisions before the draft comes, so I get that. But what if you can't get the next young receiver? Like, what if you've got a pretty good idea of what you're doing in the draft and you're picking at number one and just the receiver's not in the plans based on who's available in the draft right now? Like, you may just have to supplement for a while with paying some of these guys until you can find that next young receiver. Like, in a perfect world, I'm with you. Like, if you could walk away from this draft and feeling pretty good about a receiver that you've selected being a foundational piece of your offense moving forward, that'd be awesome. Whether that's Travis Hunter or Tet McMillan or whoever, you know, but is that going to be realistic for the Titans based on where they're currently picking right now?
Yeah. And I think it didn't work out last year, but remember, I mean, you have to react. You have to have your targets in free agency and then you react. And like last year, Rand Carthon basically said, they wanted Autry and Al-Shaair back.
Yep.
They didn't get them. They lost them, so they used the money on Ridley.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where you're out there, you're competing with teams for different guys, and then that helps dictate what you do in the draft. And if it ends up that you can get one of these guys, it's not bad to get good players.
No, absolutely. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, we'll continue to take your thoughts on the wide receivers and who could be available this offseason. Should the Titans be aggressive in pursuing wide receivers this offseason, veteran wide receivers? More of your thoughts on that. Plus, could another Stanley be a target for the Tennessee Titans this offseason? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Tune in today to 94.9 The Fan for Vanderbilt baseball as the Commodores host Air Force. Pregame beginning at 12:45, first pitch at 1 o'clock. Coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Robbie and Rex Road sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. So speaking of free agency, we've talked about some options that could be out there at wide receiver, plus some more options at wide receiver that we didn't get to that, quite frankly, I have no interest in, i.e. Keenan Allen. So we'll leave that one alone.
Yeah, it's getting a little long, a little late. Tooth there. Yeah,
a little late on that one. How about offensive line? We all know the offensive line is a huge problem for the Titans, has been a huge problem for the Titans for a long time at this point. You've got some hope moving forward that Bill Callahan could be a part of the solution as they continue to churn the offensive line and he continues to make some personnel decisions there that hopefully get things improved on that front around here. How aggressive should the Titans be in free agency this offseason as it relates to the offensive line? We've talked a lot about Trey Smith. We've gotten a lot of questions about Trey Smith. We'll continue to discuss Trey Smith later this segment. An interesting option that could be out there that I wonder what your thoughts are, Joe, as it relates to the Titans, what the interest level could be, and how good you think this player still is. So Ronnie Stanley, who is not, I don't think, related to me, but Ronnie Stanley, longtime member of the Baltimore Ravens. It's an interesting time right now with him in Baltimore. And there's a piece that Jameson Hensley has put together at ESPN.com that's kind of going through the decision that Baltimore has here as it relates to Stanley and his next deal here. He's 31 next month. He's missed 36 games over the last 5 years. This year, played in every game. He ranked 12th in the league in pass block win rate among tackles at 92.5%. First time that he's played in every game of a season since I believe he had that bad ankle injury in 2020 that kind of has been messing with him over the last 5 years. So you're talking about a 31-year-old next season that has an injury history, that's missed a lot of games, that also played pretty darn well this past season protecting Lamar Jackson on the blind side. Now, obviously, like I think he would like to remain in Baltimore. We'll see if Baltimore wants to go that route and commit to him with another contract here. But if he becomes available, should that be an option the Titans should look at, given the fact that they have drafted a left tackle, but Ronnie Stanley could be available?
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly something that I would do all the due diligence on. But again, you, in the NFL, you tell me 30-something in injury history, and I, like, immediately, that means more. That is scarier in this league than in any other league, right?
I would agree.
And so I'd be real hesitant. I'd be, frankly, kind of afraid to do it. But also, I think you have to look into it. He's been a very good player.
Yep.
He is still, I think, a good player when he's available.
Well, he's projected, according to this piece at ESPN.com, projected market value is around $20.7 million per season for a 31-year-old. And really kind of the holdup right now is he took a 50% pay cut last year to remain with Baltimore. And it's like, all right, well, coming off of this year, is he going to do something like that again? Probably not. Now, there is an opportunity in Baltimore to win, and he's been there his entire career, and you're talking about a guy in Lamar Jackson that apparently is continuing to get better, still an ascending player. You know, he had probably his best year this year, and it did not result in an MVP, but he's playing incredible football. So, you know, there's a lot to like if you're him about remaining where you are, having a chance to win, all those things. But if they don't come to a deal, he could be out there, and, you know, this article points out he's widely considered a top five free agent in the league if he's able to get there and the top available left tackle. So if you're the Titans, like, do you consider that given the needs that you have on the offensive line? Now, you've just drafted J.C. Latham, who plays left tackle. So if you got Ronnie Stanley, would you move Latham back to right tackle? Like, how would you view that if you're Bill Callahan and the Titans?
Yeah, that's the thing. I think you only entertain this if you – I think would have to have already been thinking about doing that with Latham, right? And I just have no idea. I haven't heard. I guess Callahan left the door open a little bit on that, but I haven't really heard anything that makes me think, you know, that they're seriously considering it. They might be. Maybe Bill Callahan is already like, yeah, JC's a right tackle, and if that's the case, then I think something like this makes more sense. But to just do this, when that's probably what you're going to have to do,
no.
If you didn't want to do that, if you still believe that Latham's future as a left tackle is going to be fine, you know, I saw some grade, I don't know what the heck it was, ML Football graded him like a C something, you know, that's C+ maybe as a pick. I mean, that's probably fair, C+, B- rookie year, you know, but it's certainly not like the type of rookie year that tells you, oh, this is going to be a problem. This
right.
is not going to work out. I mean, I feel better about him, quite a bit better about him after his rookie year than I did about Skoronski, for whatever that's worth. But I think that's got to be a huge part of any sort of investigation of a free agent is, like, this would be, to me, is like, okay, then that, and if that's the plan, it goes perfectly with your plan, well, all right. Then you've paid you have to pay. You're going to have to pay somewhere, seriously, to fix the offensive line. Well, this would give you your tackles.
Well, I would be curious to know from a Titans fan perspective. And take off, like, the Tennessee Vol hat for a second if you're a Vol fan out there. Would you rather the Titans, let's say Ronnie Stanley gets to free agency. Again, he's 31. There's a lot of injury history there, but he does play tackle. Would you rather the Titans pursue him and that be kind of like the big money guy that you go after in free agency on your line? Or would you rather them pay a lot of money to Trey Smith and solidify the interior at guard? Like, it's a tackle and it's a guard. It's two different positions of value in the NFL. Trey Smith's going to make a lot of money. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Like, it's going to be difficult, I think, for Kansas City to retain him. And whether they do or they don't, he's going to make a lot of money based on the way that he's played. I'd be curious to know, like, which way would Titans fans rather see them go in terms of the money they spend?
I personally, again, if internally in that building, if the belief is J.C. Latham's a left tackle, he's going to be fine, that's what he is, then I think it's absolutely Trey Smith. And, I mean, Trey Smith is young. He's really good.
Yep.
He's in the prime. I feel better about paying that player where he is. Obviously, he's all past all the blood clot stuff, you know, which I think was a big part of him falling.
Agreed.
Where he did. I would do that. And then you potentially have four spots looking decent. Again, you're a little worried about center, you know, early next year, but you still hope that long term, you know, Cushenberry should have a lot more left. And then I think you still obviously are adding people. You're going to sign some other, like, plan B type guys. But then I think the draft is where you hopefully can get your right tackle somewhere. I mean, it might have to be like a fourth rounder, but you can get a serviceable and sometimes good, you know, right tackle at that point in the draft.
I think I would lean Smith as well just because of the age. Like, to me, the thing that scares me to death about Ronnie Stanley is 31, the amount of games he's missed over the past few years, and committing to that right now. Like, are you in a spot where it makes a ton of sense to commit to that right now and then move Latham after spending an entire year working with him on the left side, moving him back to the right side? Now, he could do that. Like, he played a lot of right tackle. I don't think it would take him a huge amount of time to adjust to playing right tackle again at the NFL. But I get wary about the 31-year-old, particularly at offensive line, who's had a lot of injury issues. Now, good for him. Like, he rebounded last year, and he played really well. Like, the numbers are what they are with Ronnie Stanley. So, you know, maybe he's finally gotten past all the injury stuff, and he's going to be a really good player for the next 2-3 years that's worthy of the contract that he's going to get paid, whether that's in Baltimore or somewhere else. I mean, Trey Smith's 25. He's 25. And I understand it's a guard, and if I'm choosing a position in general to pay, I would go tackle ahead of guard. But I think the age has and the injury history has to be factored in pretty heavily here if you're the Titans or anybody else.
You have two guys on rookie deals on the left side. You obviously paid a center. And if you can get another young player that you really like on another rookie deal, yeah, there's absolutely – you're still not paying that much for that offensive line.
Right.
You hopefully will come up to tough decisions later because they're good. But there is absolutely – it's almost malpractice to not pay somebody. So, yes, if that – again, part of the plan is, like, the whole picture is, okay, what does right tackle look like in the draft? But if they're able to get Trey Smith, to me it's absolutely worth paying them. Yeah, it's important to have good guards too, you know? I mean, it is. It does matter. And if they're bad, sometimes it doesn't matter who your tackles are.
I got a lot of thoughts on this. We'll get to it on the text line coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on Ronnie Stanley, if he's potentially available, should the Titans pursue him this offseason? Trey Smith could be out there as well at the guard position. Your thoughts on all that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. A lot of interesting thoughts on the Ronnie Stanley, Trey Smith debate of if you're spending money this offseason at offensive line, where should it come from? Ed on the text line says, wouldn't you want your core positions like offensive line and defensive line to be young at the same time if possible? Aging players won't be around when the team is good again. So why would you pay for that? That's from Ed on the text line. And an interesting question, Joe, your thoughts on that from Ed?
I just wrote back to Ed. I mean, I hear you, and I just said something kind of that effect. But the problem is, like, you just don't know when you're going to be good again. Does anybody think the Titans are going to be, like, a playoff team next year? I can't right now. I'd sit here and say, what are you smoking?
It's hard to get there.
But also, that's what people would have said about Washington a year ago. What are you smoking? 2 years ago, that's what people would have said about Houston. What are you smoking?
Yep.
Right? Now, what's the commonality with those two? Yeah, they got rookie quarterbacks who were incredible as rookies. But huge jumps and dives happen in this league. So if you did effective team building in tandem with this, then, yeah, it's still possible that you would have a good veteran tackle while you are good. You can go from horrible to playoff contention in 1 year in this league. It happens all the time. This franchise did it 9 years ago. I mean, they should have won the division in 2016 after they had gone 5-27 the 2 years before. No one was predicting anything like that. So I hear you. Yes, of course you'd rather have young. And again, on this topic, I mean, I'm really agreeing. Like, I don't think it's some stupid thing to pay a guard just because he's a guard. If he's a good player, a bad guard can make a tackle worse. A good one can make a tackle better. You still have to figure out right tackle. If you give me a more feasible option of a player more in his prime who's a free agent at right tackle, like if somebody was a similar profile to Trey Smith at right tackle and it was more money, but it was similar, like healthy, young, all that, I'll take the tackle.
For sure.
With you. I will choose that option. But right now, if we're comparing these two, Trey Smith or Ronnie Stanley, I say as long as you feel good about the possibility in the draft, whether you like it or not, Titans fans, like, your team has got to draft at least one offensive lineman this year. You have to. I mean, frankly, just about any team to me somewhere should be getting offensive lineman just about every year somewhere in the draft. Yeah, I think you have to prioritize right tackle. If you feel good about the prospects, where you are, how that can come down, then yeah, pay Trey Smith.
It's interesting. The text line right now is kind of split in terms of there are some that have no interest in paying an old injured player. And some that say, yeah, you pay the tackle over the guard every time. Like, it's kind of where the text line is right now.
So the old injured tackle over the young, healthy guard every time. Okay.
Yeah, it's – look, first off, I'm going to be really interested to see, like, what does Baltimore decide to do here? Because if they let him go, like, if they let him get to free agency, is that a red flag? I mean, he is 31, but he just played really good football for them this year. So – if they say, yeah, we recognize that, but we're passing anyway, like, how much of a red flag is that? You're talking about a team in Baltimore that is right in the thick of it right now, Joe, for their contention, right? Like, Lamar Jackson is playing the best football of his career. He's one of the best players in the league. Like, your window to win is right now. If they decide to let him go, does that put a bit of a red flag in the Stanley discussion at that point?
Yes, absolutely. Why, if that's the case, they think he's toast. There's no other explanation for it. Because, again, then you have to tell me, unless they have the next person, you know, the next guy at that spot on their roster.
Well, they've talked about, if it's not going to be him, Roger Rosengarten, who has filled in for them.
Yeah.
And has done pretty well.
He's fine.
Right. But he's not Ronnie Stanley at the top of his game.
Right.
Right.
So this tells you they think Ronnie Stanley is way far from the top of his game.
Right.
So, I think that's the availability sometimes of a player is what should tell you to stay the heck away from a player.
Yeah, and again, like, look, I've not watched Ronnie Stanley closely enough to know whether or not he's now on the other side of the injury thing. I mean, it's good for him. You know, I do remember the ankle injury he had, and it was bad. And, you know, the piece on ESPN.com that I referenced kind of talked about that and how debilitating that that's been for him. But he played in every game this year and played well. So is he finally past it? I don't know. It's the first time. That's the other thing. It's the first time in his career that he's played in every game. Now, in 17 and 18, it was still 16-game schedule, and he played in 15 of the 16. So, you know, whatever. It's close enough. But this is also the first time at age 30 that he's played a full season in his career, which is also, I think, another at least yellow flag at that point.
Yeah, but also, so you would think the Ravens would be motivated, right? Like, I mean, why are you going to mess that up? I mean, their offense was pretty good this year. They got a chance to win a Super Bowl next year. Keith asks, Ronnie Stanley, is there also a Mo Rexroth out there? Yeah, he's a long snapper from UC Santa Cruz Banana Slugs, but I don't know if he's quite a pro prospect.
I mean, I'm all for it. Ronnie Stanley, I feel like he could become a regular on our program.
I think you just like this segment so that you can just say a name that sounds like you as an NFL player.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't blame you. It's pretty cool. I mean,
the similarities are striking between me and Ronnie Stanley.
Power, physicality.
A lot of power out there.
Good feet.
No doubt. Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Titans Bill to the program. Titans Bill, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. How are you two doing?
Doing good.
Good.
Well, great. I'll tell you what. Go after T. Higgins. Because, look, he's an in-state person. He played his high school football in Oak Ridge. He played for Callahan when Callahan was offensive coordinator at Cincinnati. And I'll tell you, he would have been a Tennessee Volunteer if Josh Heupel was head coach instead of Butch Jones. Think about that.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Bill.
Well, that is true.
Covered a lot of ground there. Missed opportunity for the Vols and could be available for
things. Exactly. That, I love the, you know, the home state connections. No, like we were talking about earlier on the show, I mean, it looks like the Bengals are going to tag him. They're going to tag him with the idea of signing him. I mean, like, I guess things could go sideways. Could they tag and trade?
Sure.
It's possible, but
I'm not trading for T. Higgins.
Nah. So I don't think that's going to be an option. And frankly, good for the Bengals if they actually do this. If they're actually able to keep Higgins, Chase, Hendrickson, well, that's what you should freaking do. I mean, you got this kid at quarterback, and you're going to still mess around and nickel and dime everybody? I mean, you pay people. Like, I understand if you're a Titans fan, you'd love to see T. Higgins. We've also talked about T. Higgins. You know, is T. Higgins, is he really a wide receiver one who's just overshadowed because he happens to play with Ja'Marr Chase, or is he a wide receiver two who looks a little better because he plays with Ja'Marr Chase?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think he's clearly a good player. The other part with T. Higgins, we've just spent a lot of time talking about injuries. I mean, he's been injured a fair amount the last couple of years. That would also throw some concern in that pile for me.
Yes. Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's he had a really good stretch this last year to remind people he's
still pretty
good football player. Yep. There's no doubt. But yeah, that's not going to be available to you.
615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts on the Titans and free agency. Also getting into Vanderbilt coming up next. Been a pretty good year for Vanderbilt Athletics. How has it happened? How sustainable is it? We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.